As I mentioned earlier, we're celebrating today St. Mary, Mother of our Lord. Why are Lutherans celebrating Mary? After all, we don't believe that she was conceived without sin. We don't believe that she was taken up into heaven without dying, like Jesus or Elijah or Enoch. We don't believe we should pray to her or to any other saint. She certainly had no part in our redemption, at least in purchasing and winning it for us or giving it to us. And in fact, in many ways, the scriptures depict Mary as quite ordinary. Just another young Jewish woman. She herself describes herself as one of humble estate. She wasn't expecting Gabriel to pop up that day. In fact, she was greatly troubled at his greeting. The scriptures tell us she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She didn't know why he was there. After all, she had done the very ordinary thing of getting engaged to Joseph. She was planning for full marriage. No one apparently had told her, hey, you need to wait and make sure you're still a virgin by the time Gabriel comes around. She had no idea that any of this was going to happen. Even after giving birth to Jesus, Mary is described in quite ordinary ways, attending weddings, concerned for the physical and mental well-being of her son, weeping and mourning at his death. She had no special position, no special insight, no thing about her that made God choose her for the honor of being the mother of our Lord. Now perhaps she came from a faithful and devout Jewish family. After all, her relative Elizabeth, who she was with when she sang the song that we read today, she was married to a priest, but we don't know if Mary's family was any more than ordinary in this way. Yes, Mary seems to have had a good knowledge of the scripture. If you study her song in depth, there's echoes of Hannah's song in 1 Samuel and many other psalms in the Old Testament, even some of the themes of our Old Testament reading for today from Isaiah. But again, any ordinary person can have a good knowledge of Scripture. We know that after Jesus' birth, she and Joseph performed everything according to the law of the Lord before returning to home in Nazareth in Galilee, a very ordinary place. But she also gets the sense that many ordinary Jews of the day sought to do the same thing that Mary and Joseph had done as well. As the Bible gives us no hint in the gospel lessons about her, that God chose Mary to be the mother of our Lord because she herself was so extraordinary, above and beyond anyone else around in those days. And our epistle reading, which guides our sermon as well, also shows an example for us. It seems like this could have been at least one place where the New Testament gives special recognition to Mary by name, a place to extol how extraordinary she was. But instead, phrases it this way. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Far from anything extraordinary about Mary, our text highlights just how ordinary Mary was. An ordinary woman, like all women, and like all men, don't get me wrong, who by nature was under the law, sin, and in death. The ordinary nature of Mary actually highlights for us the extraordinary nature of what God does through her. Though she was a virgin, Mary would conceive and bear a son who was also the Son of the Most High God, who would sit on David's throne forever. It's through Mary that the fully divine Son of God takes on human flesh, dwells among us. Through the extraordinary work of God in her life, ordinary Mary becomes the mother of our Lord, even the mother of God. For the Son of God is conceived as a one-celled zygote in her, and ultimately born through her. In fact, it had to be this way. The Son of God had to be born of an ordinary woman, so that he would also be born under the law. You see, God himself is the lawgiver. He's not under the law, certainly not under its curse. Yet through Mary, the eternal Son of God entered that reality of being under the law to bear its burden and its curse and its demands for you. Through Mary, the Son of God entered the human realities of suffering and sadness, brokenness and weakness, hungered, thirsty. He was hot and cold. He experienced physical and mental and spiritual anguish. He was tempted in uniquely human ways. The extraordinary nature of what God did in and through Mary is why it's a matter of faith to confess, as we will do in the Nicene Creed, that our Lord Jesus Christ was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. So God used this ordinary woman in the ordinary town of Nazareth in Galilee for the most extraordinary purpose imaginable. And our text from Galatians also helps us understand the point and purpose of it all. It tells us the Son of God was born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, reflecting the Son of God, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. It's because God worked through ordinary Mary in this extraordinary way. He has done the extraordinary thing of purchasing and winning you back from sin and death and slavery to the law. He has released you from the condemnation and punishment of sin. You have been relieved from the punishment of eternal death. Even your physical temporal death cannot harm you, because you are safe in the inheritance of eternal life Jesus won for you. All of this accomplished by Mary's Son on the cross and His resurrection for you, freeing you by the proclamation of the good news that your sins are forgiven, that you've been adopted into the eternal family of the Heavenly Father, and thus have a priceless eternal inheritance laid up for you by all who receive Jesus through faith in His name. As the one born of Mary, was born specifically to save you from your sin, is what His name means. Jesus, He will save from sin. Galatians 3 tells us that Jesus became a curse for you, to redeem you from the curse of the law of sin and death. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that Jesus knew no sin. He had no original sin. He committed no other sin, yet He became sin for you. He took on all of your sin so that you could receive, know, and live in the righteousness that God has always intended for you. As God worked through ordinary Mary, an extraordinary way to do an extraordinary work in this world for you and for all people. I wonder if sometimes when we think about the saints of old, these well-known saints of the church, and I say well-known because our understanding of saints is that any believer in Christ is a saint. We look at these well-known saints of the church, maybe we wonder, what about me? We look at their extraordinary life, or so it seems, and maybe our lives feel very ordinary by comparison. Maybe we look back and wonder, when will God work in that way in my life? Or is He not working in my life in that way because I'm a failure somehow, because I haven't taken that step to do something extraordinary for Him first? I'd say to ourselves, well, I'm just an IT worker, or a Quick Trip employee, work in middle management, I'm a stay-at-home parent, I'm a retiree without much time or energy left. I get middling grades in school, I haven't figured out my burning passion for life yet, so what about me if I don't think I've done anything extraordinary for God, or extraordinary for anyone? The devil would love to afflict your heart, mind, and soul with doubts about God's work in you, for you, and through you. To say, well, if you haven't done anything extraordinary for God, well, then yes, God has no purpose for you. You've got to do something bigger and better with your life. But God's word and the good news to you is that God worked through ordinary Mary in an extraordinary way to give His extraordinary gifts to all the ordinary people of the world. After all, He's the one, Mary exclaims, who has brought down the mighty, who's brought down the extraordinary from their thrones, exalted the ordinary, exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. See, even the story of Mary, the story of all the well-known saints, is actually the story that God doesn't work through or for only extraordinary people. No, he's the God especially of the extraordinary saints. The story and history of God's people is the story and history of all those saints in scripture times and all the other history books of the church, showing us that God's extraordinary grace is just for ordinary people. Because if it's not for ordinary people, it's probably for no one at all. And so, yes, God's extraordinary grace is just for stay-at-home mom, the trash truck driver, the high school dropout, the retiree living on Social Security with not much else to their name. God's extraordinary grace is for you and me in the very ordinary places of our lives. So when we remember Mary this day, we do see that ordinary people can have God's extraordinary grace come into their life and to work in extraordinary ways. We look at and remember Mary's openness to God and his word, even when it didn't make sense to her, even when she was confused about how this all would happen. When God proclaimed the extraordinary work he was going to do, she eventually responded with faith and trust. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. We receive God's word as the word of truth to guide our believing, our thinking, our doing. And in a world that encourages us to reject God's word at every turn, that can be truly extraordinary indeed. We also follow Mary in our readiness to rejoice in God's unmerited grace, his free favor. We rejoice in God alone and not myself, my works, or any way that I think I'm extraordinary over and above anyone else. Mary readily admitted she didn't know how this would happen or why it was happening to her. She was troubled at the greeting, "Oh, favored one, the Lord is with you." And she didn't praise herself in her song. She praised her Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She didn't suddenly stand up and cry and look back and say, "Oh, that's why God chose me. That's what was in me." No, she saw God's gracious plan and work. So we also then see in Mary that our calling as God's people is very often merely to do the ordinary things of life in extraordinary ways. Or rather, to do ordinary things in God's way. As we read through God's word, you notice that it doesn't always or often or at all spell out what I'm supposed to do with my life. Whether or not I'm supposed to marry, who am I supposed to marry, what job to take, where to live, and all these things like that. But God's word does inform how we live in each and every situation. It does inform how we interact with every person that God puts in our path. It shows me how to live even a very ordinary life with the extraordinary fruit of the Spirit. To live every day with the fruits of love and joy and peace, the fruits of patience and kindness and goodness, the fruits of faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All the while remembering God's extraordinary promises. The promises from Galatians 4, that you have been set free from slavery to sin and death, free to be children of God, free as heirs of eternal life. Even when your life feels the most ordinary, you have this extraordinary promise as well from Ephesians 2. You are his workmanship, created, recreated, and redeemed in Jesus Christ for good works, which God has prepared beforehand already. You should walk in them, no matter how ordinary they seem or how extraordinary they become. And so, like Mary and with Mary, we rejoice in God's extraordinary grace, his mercy for us and all people. We rejoice in the work God has done for us, which frees us for whatever sort of life God calls us to, even if we and those around us feel it's extraordinary. We rejoice that we don't have to make ourselves extraordinary and be acceptable to God or loved by him. That he really wants us to receive his extraordinary love and share his extraordinary grace with the world around us. In the name of Jesus, amen.